heterosexuality. When I came to Prague and started to work for my first big newspaper, which was Týden, there were several topics in the life section, lifestyle section, which nobody kind of was interested in. And one of them was food. And I always loved food. I loved cooking, talking about it, discussing it. So I just chose this one. And I remember when I came for the first time and told my boss, well, I would write something like 6 pages about chocolate. And he was, come on, 6 pages about chocolate. What would you write about it? Nobody's interested. And it had quite success. So we continued and continued. And, well, then it started to be the only topic I made, actually.
And in terms of you being interested in food, was that something that started very early? Was food an important thing in your family, or how did that come about?
I guess it's mostly about my two grannies, because both of them are fabulous cooks. One of them, the village rustical type, and the other one, the middle class city lady. So these were the people who kind of formed my view on food and gastronomy, and who taught me cooking, because my mom is not really keen about it.
And I believe you also spent some time in Ireland as a student. What was that experience like, and what would you say about Ireland's culinary culture?
Irish cuisine, it's something which will probably never become like world gastronomy trend, but on the other hand, they have amazing products, they have amazing butter, they have amazing seafood. I never forget things like fresh oysters on the Saturday market. You can buy half dozen and eat it whole on the place. It's just fabulous.
And in terms of the European Union or Europe as a whole and the Czech Republic in particular, how does the quality of products here compare to the European average?
I'm afraid it's lower, because some of the companies, actually, at the moment, we are working on an article which should prove that some companies make equal products in worse quality for Czech market than for Western markets. And there's also one thing about the laws, about the legislation, because Czech laws are more strict in some part of food production than European ones. So the imported goods is worse quality than the Czech ones. So opening the borders means worse quality of the food on the market.
And in terms of attitude towards food and cooking and fancy restaurants, all that, what would you say has changed in the Czech Republic in maybe the past decade in this area?
I think it's one of the biggest changes I ever seen among people, because gastronomy started to be a topic to discuss in the pub among guys. I mean, my boyfriend and his friends discuss food all the time. When they go out and drink beer, they just discuss how to marinate meat, for example. And people are so much interested in food. I mean, now it's really like most trendy topic, maybe. Everybody cooks, everybody is interested, everybody is going to the farmers markets, which are actually the product of this big interest.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think food right now is such a hot topic and so trendy?
It's difficult to say, because there are more influences, but I would say there are several people who kind of really have big part in this, which is Hanka Michopulu, the food writer, Zdeněk Polreich, the chef, and maybe Cuketka, the blogger, and maybe some others who talked about it so long, how it's important to have food of good quality, how it's important to cook well, how it's important to return to the roots. So these people definitely, and people also travel and see it in different countries, and they just realize that they have been living for 40 years in food hell.
And you have also written long exposé kind of articles about the food industry and questionable practices employed in the Czech food industry. For example, I remember one about the decline of Czech bread. Could you tell me where this inspiration for such an article comes from, and then how you write it, what the process is in terms of research and so on?
The basic inspiration was Felicity Lawrence from Guardian, because she's making this kind of stuff in Britain, and she's really good. But in Czech, we have kind of different type of products, so it was really just inspiration, and at the end, it takes maybe a month or two to get through all the legislation, maybe to get secretly to some factory to really work on it hard and go to the like basis of the food through the technology stuff. It's quite a lot of work, honestly, for this, I mean, 8 or 10 pages at the end.
And how did the bread baking lobby react to this particular article? Did you have a lot of negative reactions from them?
Yeah, it was real long phone calls from the general managers of the biggest biggest factories, which is Panam and United Bakeries, and the boss of the biggest one actually came to the publishing house, and I was really really happy that my editor-in-chief really stood behind me, and he knows that what we published is all right. There is no false. I didn't make anything up, so he just told him, well, if you see there some factical fault, we can talk about it, but that's it. It's important to have the background.
You also have a column, a weekly column, in the weekend magazine of Hospodarske Noviny, where you kind of have a backstory and then you write a recipe. Can you tell me where you get your inspiration for that every week?
I mean, the easiest inspiration is nature. It's the season. Going out for the market or to the nature and collect some flowers or travel, maybe.
So do you also incorporate some things that you remember from childhood, for example, when you write about elderberries?
Definitely. I mean, many of these recipes are my grandma's recipes from both sides, because, as I said, they were really good cooks, both of them, and I'm happy that they taught me something, so I'm going to the roots, as everybody probably.
And do you actually cook all these meals yourself, and where do you cook them?
Oh, yeah, I make it myself, and I must say that even after all the time, it's really nice to see your own food on the big picture in the newspaper. That's something that makes me happy. We make it in the kitchen of my colleague who lives in the village, and she has a really big kitchen, light one, and many like nice properties, old antique things, cutlery and everything, so that's where we make it.
And I've noticed that most of the recipes are quite simple. There aren't, you know, really long lists of ingredients. So is that a conscious effort on your part?
Yeah, I guess if you want to cook a nice meal, you don't have to spend hours in the kitchen. And if you want, of course, you can. But you have to keep the joy when it comes to food. And you need to give also some time to the people you want to eat with, not only to the food, I guess.
And what would you like to change in terms of the gastronomy here, or where do you think do we still need to improve the standard?
I would really appreciate if there would be more like village restaurants where I could come, I don't know, to any village and know that the only restaurant in the village will give me a nice local speciality. That's something I really miss yet.
And right now, what is your favorite restaurant or your favorite place to eat in Prague?
My long-term favorite is definitely Café de Paris. They have the best entrecote ever in this republic. And my recent favorite is Sancho. I really love Sophia Smith. She's amazing.
Food writer and columnist Petra Pospiechová, Sarah Borufka's guest on One on One.